Peer Eye Podcast.
Welcome to the Peer Eye Podcasts. I'm Gemma James, Head of Environmental Issues at the PRI, and today we're going to be discussing the topic of WASH, water sanitation and hygiene. Now, some listeners may remember that we recorded a similar podcast just over 2 years ago on WASH, and we're revisiting the topic during these current times of the COVID-19 pandemic. As many of you know, hand washing and access to clean water and sanitation services are playing an essential role in preventing the transmission of COVID-19. Yet globally, 1 in 3 people do not have access to safe drinking water, and 2 out of 5 people do not have a basic hand washing facility with soap and water. So working with WaterAid, we have put together this edition of the podcast to focus on WASH and COVID-19, and I'm delighted to introduce our 2 guest speakers to discuss this. We have Mark Robert, who is the partner and chief operating officer at Water Asset Management, and who is also on the board of WaterAid America. And he is joined by Mihir Abdul Al, who is the CEO of Fakir Fashion in Bangladesh. So welcome, Mihir and Mark.
Thank you.
To start, Mark, could you remind us what is WASH and why is this important?
Sure. Thank you, Gemma. Thank you, Mihir. So WASH, first of all, is the most elementary aspect of water access and sanitation. It is with a particular focus on hygiene. And I think that's what's been brought to light in this COVID pandemic, is that water sanitation and hygiene are, in our thinking, and I work in an investment firm, which is a proud signatory of PRI, Water Asset Management. We only invest in water. And we look at WASH as probably the most distributed healthcare service in the world. This is the ability to provide basic services that ensure health, ensure prosperity, ensure good living conditions, ensure social, avoid social unrest. And so WASH is particularly important in moments of healthcare crises because it underscores the inequitable distribution of access to WASH. And without WASH, you don't have a stable workforce. Without WASH, you don't have customers. Without WASH, you really have a breakdown in societal values and stability. So we think it's the absolute essential, quintessential service that required for human existence.
Okay. And I have one more question for you, Mark, first.
Sure.
A lot of statistics out there are global, like the ones that I just quoted earlier from the World Health Organization. Right. But here in Europe and North America, we've taken clean water to wash our hands for granted. And this will be the first time that some investors have actually had to think about this. So what about emerging markets? Why is it important for them to focus on WASH?
Well, I would say that following on my last point, I think the emerging markets, which are incredibly important, both from a demographic and human population point of view, are probably the most ill-served from a WASH standpoint. You know, I think we can all cite statistics, which in our work at WaterAid are quite appalling. It's the level of access to basic water and sanitation in most healthcare facilities, most schools, in most homes. So the developing world, which is increasingly important for the world's growth and the world's production of many, many, many goods that serve both the developing and the developed world, is probably the most crucial area for WASH and sanitation improvements. And I think it's increasingly a corporate risk, both from an investor and an operating point of view, to be evaluated, that if you do not have a stable supply chain due to ill health or poor living conditions, you are vulnerable. And I think that's really coming to light. And the developing world is essential for the production of most goods.
Great. Thanks, Mark. And Mihir, if I turn to you, can you briefly introduce Fakir Fashion and explain how COVID-19 has changed hygiene behaviours and WASH practices in the short term for your business?
Well, thank you for connecting.
Fakir Fashion is one of the top Bangladeshi knit manufacturers, completely vertical. We do knitting, dyeing, garmenting, printing, washing, packaging, and distribution to the final distribution through Chittagong port. To doing this, we have huge needs of water. This is one part. And also 12,000 workers are working day in and day out. Like Mark said, this is also a basic hygiene, which is connected to the productivity, to absenteeism, to the good life, and also hygiene towards the products itself is a huge engagement. And the COVID has also brought us more intensity in the same operations where more water is needed, because we all know hand wash besides pure drinking water and also consumer uses, besides the heavy engagement in dyeing, washing and printing and cleaning all these machines, plates and nets is a huge. And this is a huge pressure on the operations and the water demand. And Fakir Fashion is fortunate to have a big land and in the heart of Dhaka and Narayanganj where water is available, but a good water management has been also a big challenge. And especially in the COVID, washing 20 seconds the hands, maintaining the water management to stop the water tap, and again, allow the shifting people. So you have to, you know, manage the timing and productivity at the same time while you are securing their workplace, their hands washing and their safety. So what we have done to tackle these new difficult situations or new normal, what you call, we have spreaded the operation into two shifts. And then we have spreaded the operation into the social distancing method. So we have taken the floor 50% empty, and then we have taken the vertically and horizontally floors are divided. And then we have taken the workers from the gate through the heat, and means we are doing the thermal check, automatic chambers and guns. And then we are separating if somebody is showing the symptoms or temperature higher, and they're putting them to the doctors. And the healthy workers or regular workers going to the floor after all this sanitizing process. So there is a huge additional committee in the safeties, in the doctors, in the paramedics, and also operation heads are trained how to produce garments in a safety and also secure life. There's a huge question about life over livelihoods, but sitting in this part of the production country, we definitely have to run the operations and it is good going.
Great. And Mihir, how do you see the changes in behaviours being sustained for the longer period of time as COVID is for this current period? But what do you see for the long term?
Well, I think this is really, really going to be a long term practices, because sitting in this third world of this country and actually sanitation, hygiene and safe drinking water has been a challenge. So what we have done, we have arrange rainwater harvesting catchment where we can catch in a monsoon season 15,273 cubic meter of water, which we have taken as an extra investment and reservoir. And also we have arranged hand washing facilities, separate cabinets, and did huge training and motivations and awareness session through audio, video and pictorial methods. And we have broken the groups into under separate groups to train them and to lead them, created the leaderships. And we have taken this as a long-term process, because we know there will be no very soon vaccines or not being tested in the human body. We still don't know how that reacts, but we have to keep taking the challenge of managing 12,000 workers, 220,000 garments a day. And also we have to dye like 60 tons of fabric every day and simultaneously cutting and printing. So it's a huge work, you're right. We have to create new management. We have to create new awareness and add more doctors, nurses, volunteers, and tools and gadgets. It's a huge investment. While at the same time, the business is very uncertain too, and that's a different discussions. But Fakir Fashion is very fortunate to have the right position and right partners and globally, and a lot of good suggestions, techniques and knowledges are being exchanged and we are updated.
Thanks. And I guess we can dig in a little bit deeper on that line of thought. So thinking about the opportunities and challenges of in the provision of WASH in the future, if I start with you, Mahir, what kind of opportunities and challenges are you seeing for the future? And then I'd go to Mark for the question afterwards on how investors could support such an accelerated large-scale WASH response during the post-COVID-19. So Mahir, let's start with you, and then we can move to Mark.
All right. Challenges, one is in the macro level. Bangladesh is a country of like 160 million people officially, probably 170 million people. And rapid urbanization, rapid industrialization, and a big GDP growth like 7-8% speaks for itself. What is the momentum going on? A lot of productions, all the name brands and basic brands are here. And at the moment, this is also going good because Bangladesh is producing a lot of basic items and consumer items. So Fakir Fashion sees business-wise a lot of opportunity still. This is a silver line in the cloud, but we have positioned ourselves to cope with the new normal, with the new needs. And the challenges is the groundwater level. You don't know how much water is there. We hear every time it is going down by certain amount because of a lot of extractions of groundwater. And the cost of the water is more hard and harder when you go down. And you have to clean this water. You have to invest more money in there while the prices remain constant. No buyer is eager or able to pay you more. Rather, they're asking less because of, you know, the business situations. So this is remains another challenge, how to meet with this demand and the necessity of extra cost and how to safeguard your business, safeguard life, and keep the business uninterrupted. So this is a big question, yeah.
So I think from an investor point of view, what's really important here is, as with much of the ESG criteria and SDG objectives, is that this is really a risk analysis. Investors need to be more conscious of the quality of the supply chains of the companies in which they are invested in. We have many companies which have outsourced their supply chains and where questions of WASH security are really not being asked. And so I think, as we've seen throughout this COVID pandemic, the risk of contamination is high. The ability to affect even the most sophisticated companies is there. And I think we need to be much more thoughtful in asking questions about how companies are ensuring that WASH is part of their corporate policy, that they're pushing that down through their suppliers, that they are practicing, you know, strong WASH or encouraging good WASH practices, because it can be a material risk to a business. I mean, we saw it even in the developed world happening in distribution centers where contamination was rampant in some of the large warehouses. So this is not just a developing world issue. This is a whole world issue, as COVID has pointed out, and it's a real material risk. And I think better questioning of the corporates, better understanding of how their supply chain is structured is very important.
Great. And the next question is for Mark on what do you think the return of investment of WASH looks like?
Well, I think there's, you know, strong statistics that show that it's a material benefit. You know, we've seen particularly in education, you know, WASH is shown to have sort of an eightfold turn in terms of stability of, you know, school environments and the ability to keep students in school. I think in a workplace, it's similar numbers, sort of 4 to 5 times, you know, the return on investment. It is as I said at the beginning, it is the largest and probably the most cost-effective healthcare preventative that we have. And the fact that it is not deployed more broadly is actually appalling. And so, you know, it has a material benefit. And the amazing thing is that it is permanent. It's, think about the investment, it is relatively low cost to put into place, and it has benefits well beyond supply chains, well beyond the workplace, because these good practices can then get taken home and improvements are made there. You know, we think, obviously we're biased on water, but we think, you know, water is one of the most scalable SDGs. It touches everything from productivity to social stability to, you know, life expectancy to educational outcomes, women's rights to children's rights. So it's a material benefit and well worth the investment.
Excellent. Thank you. So I'd like to finish on a practical note for investors. Mark, we've heard from Mihir around the practicalities of implementing WASH practices at the factory level during COVID-19. And today, investors have not been engaging on WASH, and you've given us some ideas on what investors should and could be asking their investees with regards to WASH. What initiatives out there can investors turn to for more information and to help them with their engagement questions?
Well, I think from an engagement point of view, it really is just start with asking the basic questions about where the supply chain is and have they started their inquiries into, you know, have the companies inquired as to how WASH is being implemented. I think from our point of view, the best place, you know, there are certain corporates which are doing some excellent work in this area. You know, HSBC has been doing a lot of work with WaterAid on improving sort of entire supply chains. But it is a very strong, I think the basic area to start with is inquiring of companies as to how they are thinking about WASH. In terms of the other companies that are doing good work in this area, you have a number of corporates, so Diageo, Unilever, Gap, I mentioned HSBC. I think it's a, speak to your peers. I think we can build momentum within the PRI for probably a greater set of questionnaires and questions to ask of corporates so that they can look into their supply chain and those that are outsourced to get a better sense. I mean, I'd almost turn to Mihir and say, you know, what would be helpful for him as he goes along this journey?
Well, absolutely. What we have done, that's a great potential protections for the water safety in this part of the world. And also this is the case of business cost, you know. The dyeing cost is also a component which is greatly depending on water chemicals. And there is no such technology yet to do waterless dyeing, which is in the talk. So, and the denims and the nets are heavily depending on the washer, both dyeing and washing it later in the stage, and also washing its machines and equipments. So it's great to share with you here. With these investments, we have been able to harvest 3,000 cubic meter of water last monsoon. And this monsoon, we are looking at 15,273 cubic meter water, which is a pure soft water, do not require any processing, and which goes directly to the dyeing besides the domestic users. And we have been also able to display these cases to BKMEA, which is Bangladesh Knitwear Manufacturers Associations, who are greatly excited, and shared with also peer companies who came and visited us, because this is also a big social responsibility to save water, like Mark said, to help human life, communities, children in schools and everybody while we do business and making money. So I see a huge potential of this dialogue and to spread all these good messages and also save our earth and still doing business.
Gemma, I want to throw in another answer, which might be a better answer to how corporates can get a little more involved. But so I think that we have discovered in discussions with a number of corporates about their water investments and their thoughts about how to do water CSR is that they often think in pure volumetric terms about the cost to replace the water they're using. And what I would encourage them to think about is with regards to WASH, is that it's a much more scalable investment. This is an investment which you can't just think about the price per liter, but you have to think about the investment that it makes within the community. Because much of you know, water, sanitation, and particularly the hygiene element, gets taken back to the home, gets taken back to communities. And it has a far more leveraged effect than the mere cost of the water saving. So I think that that's a very important element. And I think, you know, people need to be much more conscious of this leverage effect that WASH has across not only a company, but more importantly, the community that it serves, as well as the community that provides those services.
That's a really good point to finish this discussion on. So water security and WASH will continue to be very much a material issue today and the future. And it's a great opportunity for investors to be good stewards as well. So that's all that we have time for today. Mark, Mihir, it's been a pleasure to have you both on PRI Podcasts. And thank you for sharing your insights on WASH and COVID-19.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Gemma.
Thank you, Mihir.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you for listening to this PRI podcast. For more information on responsible investment, please visit us at unpri.org.